Today's reading is from 2 Kings 23, 1 through 3. Please turn to 2 Kings 23, 1 through 3. Ordered page 271 in the Bibles provided. Then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went up to the temple of the Lord with the people of Judah, the inhabitants of Judah, Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets, all the people from the least to the greatest. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the temple of the Lord. The king stood by the pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord, to follow the Lord and keep his commands, statutes and decrees with all his heart and all his soul, thus confirming the words of the covenant written in this book. Then all the people pledged themselves to the covenant. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated, and children may go to children's church.
So Josiah was the king. We are in the late 600 BC. He was 8 years old when he became king. So you can imagine he must have had a set of elders and leaders, advisors around him. We don't exactly know what that meant when he was 8 years old, but at the age of 18, he was now a young man, a young adult, and they were working on the repairs in the temple. The temple was probably some 25 to 3,000 square feet, maybe the size of our sanctuary. And they found the book of the law, the scroll. It'd probably be a scroll. They had lost it. They had lost their Bible. They took it to Josiah and they read it. It was probably at least the first five books, the Torah. There might have been more, we're not sure. But they read it. And they actually panicked, because they realized they were not following the Lord. Imagine if us as a church came in one day and said, we found the real Bible, not this set of traditions we're doing, and we've been doing it all wrong. The shock and dismay. And so they went to the prophet Huldah. She must have been a very well-known and powerful prophet. The south gate of the old city of Jerusalem is named after her. So all these leaders, advisors, priests, they go to her and they say, what do we do? And she said, you're not following the Lord. Disaster is coming. But because they were willing to follow the Lord, they would be spared. And those disasters would come on other people who would not follow the Lord. It is difficult to imagine a nation, Israel, losing their foundational document. Yet it reflects so much on our society today. Let us bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come here before you, Lord, we look back to ancient Israel, their kings, the people. So many similarities to us, Lord. But yet there was revival. There are always pockets of revival. And Lord, we pray for revival in our hearts here as a people, in our church, and the churches across Coffeyville in our community, our state, our nation, our globe. Lord, let your Holy Spirit sweep across our world so that we would follow you. We pray this in your holy name. Amen and amen. So Josiah, they read the word, and they were called to action. They weren't just going to sit and ignore it. Then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He's young. He's got advisors. He's smart to get a team. Imagine the overwhelming, sinking feeling of knowing you've been doing it all wrong. It's kind of like doing all your friends' taxes and then reading and then realizing you used the wrong year of the tax code. Oops. And he probably asked them, what next? What do we do? And he went up to the temple of the Lord with the people of Judah, the inhabitants of Israel, the priests and the prophets, all the people from the least to the greatest. It's called a merism, a metaphor, from the least to the greatest, from the oldest to the youngest, from A to Z. It represents the whole. No one is excluded. It wasn't just for the elites or for the common. It's for all of them. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant. Same as book of the law. A covenant is an agreement. Generally, a covenant in the Old Testament, you see, it's by a greater God to his lesser people, or even a king to his people. But it can be between equals. And a covenant is based on love. Grace, mercy. See, a contract is based on scarcity and fear. When you buy a house, you sign a contract. You know why? Because the bank wants to make sure you pay. And they should. There was a day when you might just shake your hand, but today we put it in writing. It's based on fear. A covenant is we love each other. We're going to serve each other. It's about relationship. It has contractual aspects, but it's bigger and larger and based on grace and mercy. And the book of the covenant, the scroll, which had been found in the temple of the Lord, they read it out loud. See, even in our church, we read scripture. We open up with a call to worship. We read the text for the lesson. And we close with scripture. The importance of reading scripture, not only at home, but in our churches. Some churches make this a regular reading every Sunday like we do. Some don't. But it's important to read scripture. And all the people were involved. It's not just like, you guys read it and you take care of business and we'll just sit here. It was for everyone. It's not their work or their work. It's our work. It would be the terminology, we're all in this together. So today, some of us will be watching football games. And the quarterback position is often considered very elite. Having a good quarterback is very, very important. But I'm going to tell you, if he has no offensive line, it's over. Last year, the Kansas City Chiefs had one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and they lost two of their offensive tackles or guards, and you could tell. See, we're all in this together. Some people are more prominent, some are more well-known, but every one of us is in this together. And Josiah was bringing all the people together to follow the Lord. Then in verse 3, the king stood by the pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord to follow the Lord and keep his commandments. Worship has many aspects. Following the Lord, singing, sacrificing. Worship is also a covenant renewal. It's not just songs and music. Worship is we bow down before God and we say we renew our covenant with you each week, each day, that we're going to follow you. Communion, when we break bread and have the cup, that his body was broken and his blood was shed. It is a covenant renewal. We are saying, Lord, Every day, we will take up our cross and follow you. We're renewing our commitment to him. You've heard me say the old joke about a wife who says to her husband, I don't know if you love me anymore. And he goes, honey, I said it at our wedding. If anything changes, I'll let you know. Man, let me just tell you something. That's not good enough. You renew it constantly. You say it constantly. You recommit constantly. And Josiah and the people were renewing their covenant to follow the Lord, keep his commandments, statutes, and decrees with all their heart and all their souls, thus confirming the word of covenant written in this book. Then all the people, not just the king, not just the priests, not just Huldah the prophet, all the people pledged themselves to the covenant. They were all going to follow the Lord. They were committed to that, committing themselves. Now, we're realistic. We understand that some people maybe weren't as committed as others. Some would probably maybe give up within 6 months to a year or two. Maybe the first adversity might fall away. But many, through troubles and tribulations, good days and bad, would continue to renew their covenant and follow the Lord. As we spoke about last week, the new year, it's a time to re-examine ourselves, to think about where we're at and what we're doing. Something we should do every month, every day. But the new year is a time when we especially do that. To daily renew our dedication to him, the living God, in his life. It's like if you're in a high school sport, if you're on the drama team, theater, forensics, when you go to practice and practice your speech, you're renewing your dedication to forensics. If you go to your basketball practice, you're renewing your dedication to play. And if you don't show up, you're saying, I'm not dedicated. In the same way, every day as believers, we are called to be a people of action. And they took action on what they read. They were going to do what it said. Commands, statutes, decrees, with all their heart and soul. So would it be with us. So people taking action. And the question is then, how did they get to where they were at? The southern kingdom is called Judah, the north is Israel, but they were both Israel. Saul was the first king, then David and Solomon, and right after Solomon, 930 BC, north and south split, their own civil war. North would become Israel, south Judah. And everything was changed. The north never had a godly king. I would dare say there was no scroll to find. And the south, the nation of Judah, would go through good kings and then bad, generally more bad than good. In some 100 years, the late 700s, Hezekiah would be a king, bringing reform, but after him would be one of the most evil kings, Manasseh, for 55 years. If we get a bad president, it's 4 years. 55 years. And you can understand how the law was lost. They had taken a whole different path. But now, Josiah finds the law, he's a young man, and he says these words in verse 4. The king ordered Hilkiah the high priest and the priests next in rank and the doorkeepers to remove from the temple of the Lord all the articles made from Baal and Asherah and all the starry host. It had gotten so bad, the temple of God, Solomon's temple, had been turned into a pagan heathen temple. It's imagine this, if you left our church for 10 years and came back, and we had statues, we had pagan symbols, I had the zodiac up here on the stage, I was reading from the Book of Mormon, you'd be like, I'm shocked. That's what they were dealing with. That's how far away they had gone. He burned them outside Jerusalem, the fields of the Kidron Valley, and took the ashes to Bethel. He did away with the adulterous priests appointed by the kings of Judah to burn incense in the high places of the towns of Judah and those around Jerusalem. Those who burned incense to Baal, to the sun, the moon, the constellation, and all the starry hosts. They had their zodiac and false gods back then. And they had taken over. He took the Asherah poles from the temple of the Lord to the Kidron Valley outside Jerusalem and burned it there. He didn't just burn it. He ground it to powder and scattered the dust over the graves of the common people. It's like, I'm going to show you. I'm going to burn it. I'm going to scatter the ashes. Not just words, but he took action. They believed what they read. And they took it to heart. They got rid of their false gods. Now, it sounds easy on paper. But think about this. It was so bad the temple was full of false gods and idols. And yes, it says all the people had committed. But if you've been doing this your whole life, worshiping false gods, it wasn't that easy to suddenly turn around. So they took extreme action. I mean, it was really extreme. It was a 180. In the same way, we are called to holiness. Holiness is setting apart ourselves for God. These people now were setting themselves apart to God and God only. Not to hide, but to live a life out in public for the Lord. Not just to be moral. See, oftentimes when we think of holiness, we think of morality, and that's true. But holiness is setting ourselves Holiness is setting ourselves aside to follow God and be separate unto Him. When you're married, you are called to be separate unto your spouse and no others. If you go off to college, you are separate unto the college you are going. That is your commitment. That is where you're putting your studies. And when we set ourselves for God, we then have a desire birthed within us to follow Him. To be moral then based on our heart to follow Him. Many think and falsely so that if I'm good, I'm good enough. How many times do you hear the thing, the quotation, the survey, when you die, will you go to heaven? Yeah, I think I'm good enough. I've been a good person. Good as compared to what? You're not a murderer. You don't cheat in your taxes. You don't commit adultery. What's the standard? The standard is that our salvation comes in Jesus Christ, not because we're good enough, but because He died for us. And then because of that, because we follow and commit ourselves to Him, we desire to do what's right. I'm not saying morals apart from Jesus are wrong. I'm just saying they won't save us. And our grace and mercy comes from the Lord. And then because of that, we desire to follow Him. But I'll tell you this. We cannot follow what we do not know. You can't follow what you don't know. Again, going back to the history of Israel and Judah. There was a civil war after Solomon. Rehoboam went to the south, Judah. Jeroboam to the north, Israel. Judah had the temple. So what does Jeroboam do? He knows he needs a temple, so he builds his own with calves. They would make calves because calves, cattle represent wealth, prosperity, food. And so they would worship that. And what you read is over time, the godly people that were up in Israel would leave and go to Judah. So they already had bad king and bad kings to come afterwards. But even the people who follow the Lord would leave and go south. They were doomed. They wouldn't even know. Because even the good influences they had, and then I could say they did know because they willfully stayed and knew there's a better way. But how would their children even know? The godliness they had left. But even Judah forgot. And would have their bad kings. And like Manasseh for 55 years, they lost the book of the scroll. Now we can sit back and think, how is that possible? So imagine a building this big. There's the top, like here would be the Holy of Holies. The holy place here, and there are side rooms and side storage. But if you have pagan god stuff set up, it just got stuff somewhere. It wasn't like us, we have multiple copies of a Bible. I don't know how many scroll copies they might have, but not many. It would appear to be only one. And they lost it. Same thing happens today. I remember listening to the story of Dr. Bruce Waltke. He's a well-known professor and speaker, and he was invited to speak at a church. And he goes, "Let us open our Bibles." And there were no Bibles in the church. And so he goes, "Well, let's get some Bibles." They couldn't find any. True story. And so they went looking. I don't know how big of a church service it was. It's probably more like a Bible study group. But they kind of go looking around the church, and they found some, if I remember right, in the basement closet. It boggles the mind. Who's in charge of that church? So we can look back, and what happened then happens today. Now, they lost them. Some people willfully throw them out. We don't want this. And I dare say ignorance is no excuse. Because even it tells us the law is written in our hearts. And there were consequences for those people. God's blessing was gone. So as we look to the new year, as we look to each month, each day of our life, we are called to commit, to re-examine, to renew our dedication to the Lord. And as I do, usually each year, I challenge you to have a reading plan. You can find multiple ones online or even our church webpage under the Equipping You. To read daily, to read the Bible in a year, to read it in 2 years. To just decide to read the whole New Testament for one time. To study a book. For adults, for youth, all ages. To read the Action Bible. Now, the Action Bible technically isn't a Bible. It's a storybook, comic book style. We usually give them away. I shouldn't say usually. We give them away each year at our harvest party for visitors. We give them to the kids. It gives you the big picture to understand the characters. I recommend it for adults. And if you're not big on reading, some people just aren't as good as readers. And the Bible can be difficult to read. You have an app on your phone to read it. To audio, MP3s, thumb drives, CDs. To listen to the Bible. I mean, let's face it. If you want to hunt, guns are complicated. Compound bows, the weight, the strength, the carbon fiber. You got to know what you're doing. Nothing more dangerous than somebody just picking up a rifle or a bow and arrow. I'm going to go hunt. Not on my property. I want to be a mechanic. Are you going to study? Nah, I'm just going to start tearing things apart under the hood. Not on my car. You know, we were joking before church service. There's some words you never want to hear your nurse or doctor say. Oops. Or, never seen that before. I had a friend say that about my computer problem. Never seen that happen before. Thanks. I mean, this is a true story. I was working in a hospital and we were in the some clinic or something, and they were joking about a surgery and a surgeon because you could recognize his car. It was like a cherry red two-door sports car. And I don't know if it's a physician's desk reference, but it was open up to gallbladder surgery. And, you know, some nurses had seen it, were joking, wouldn't want to be the patient that day. Ooh, I got a gallbladder surgery. I better look and see what's how that's done. Not my gallbladder. You want people to know what they're doing. I mean, like I said, you want your tax accountant to know this year's tax code, because it's different probably than 5 years ago. Nah, I don't read the tax code. You know, I just do what I can. And it's the same way. If we're going to live out our faith, if we're going to follow the Lord, if you're going to follow Jesus, because here's what I'll tell you. Which Jesus? Some people like the fire and brimstone Jesus. You know, if you lead people astray, I'm going to tie a brick around or a block around your neck and throw you in the water. Jesus says that. You know, woe to those who sin, but woe to those who lead my little ones. Or coming down to the book of Revelation on a white horse, and there's blood up to the rein. Hallelujah, Jesus is bringing wrath and destruction. And if you don't follow him, God help us all. And then you got the Jesus with the lamb. He goes after the one that's lost. He's the friend of sinners. He's washing feet. And then you got the, you know, the Jesus that people just make up. My Jesus would never do that. Who is your Jesus? I read this new book called Open Minds and Open Jesus. Who wrote it? Some guy. But I like that Jesus. Well, here's the thing. This Jesus is in the Bible. This Jesus is in the Bible. This one ain't in the Bible. But who's Jesus? You don't know who he is if you don't read the Bible. And see, I don't get to have my own Jesus. I'm called to follow him, not him follow me. But if you don't read the text, the Bible, if we don't study, you don't know. It's difficult to follow the Lord if you don't know who he is. So, you know, small-time pastors, mega-pastors, televangelists, they're responsible for what they teach. They are. But if we blindly follow them, that's our fault. That's our problem. No one person has some special revelation of Jesus. We all have the revelation of Jesus Christ, the biblical text. We are all called to follow the Lord. Yes, you can have your favorite pastor. I don't care if it's Charles Stanley or Charles Swindoll or Rick Warren, Beth Moore. They're all great teachers. They teach us. And you know what I like about all of them? They take you back to this. Go check it out if you don't believe them. As I've said the last couple of weeks, there's no retirement plan for reading your Bible. You get through it, you read the whole thing, whether you're on the one-year plan or the five-year plan, we're called to read it again. Whether you read the New Testament or the Old Testament, whether you read a book at a time, a chapter at a time, I don't care if you spend one chapter you like and you spend a whole month on it. You're reading, you're studying it. The only way we can follow the Lord is to follow the true revelation of Jesus Christ written in Holy Scripture. We are called to follow the Lord by following His Word, by having His Holy Spirit empowering presence in our life to follow and worship the living God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we go through the month of January, a time of recommitment, renewal, let us always have a covenant renewal to You, to always follow You. Lord, let us never lose Your Word from our heart. Let us never grow cold. Lord, let us never grow dissatisfied or jaded. Lord, through the good days and through the difficult days, let us commit to follow You and Your Word, to know who You are, to know the full revelation of Jesus Christ by Your empowering presence. Lord, guide our nation to turn back to following You. Guide our community, Coffeyville. Guide the churches throughout our community here to recommit on a daily basis to follow You, Lord, committed to the person of Jesus Christ. We pray this in Your holy name, Lord. Amen.